Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday roundtable. This is Sunday, October 11th, 2015. Our subject today is, are sin, disease, and death real? We're going to start off today with a few things. Florence, is there anything you wanted to bring up this morning?
No, I've just been thinking about, you know, what am I willing to see as unreal, and some of the things that seem more difficult to see as unreal. And I just wondered if others feel the same.
Yes,
absolutely.
So you're saying some things are more easy to see as unreal than others?
Yes. I mean, for example, pain was took me a while to accept even that it's unreal, because it feels so real. I mean, I've had to have a backache. It was a pain in the shoulders that I used to have all the time, and I just, you know, always went with it. This is painful, and I would justify it with so many things. You know, I lifted a patient, or I did this, or I did that. It took me a long time to, you know, see it. No, this is not real either. All error is unreal if God is all. That's when I finally, you know, had the courage, or whatever it calls it, to really see that all error, all discomfort, all discord, all of them are unreal if I'm accepting that God is all.
Thank you. Yeah, that is one that often comes up, that belief in pain. You know, I was once told that to watch your thought. Mrs. Eddy says that, watch your thinking, not your body. And pain can sometimes seem to be a result of a lot of long-term painful thoughts. And so those must be rooted out. Those thoughts are no more true than the belief of a painful body. They're both not of God. But it has to be recognized. Here again, you know, you can't expect healing when you are entertaining those kinds of thoughts. And sometimes we do it, we don't even realize we're doing it because it seems so normal. We've done it for so long. Whether you're holding a grudge or thinking about things that happened a long time ago that were painful or hurtful, let it go. Let it go.
Or angry, or resentful. Or guilty, or all of those.
All of those. You're bottling it up. And again, your body is protesting that kind of thought because it's ungodlike.
I'm just going to say, I'm so thankful you brought this up, Florence, because it brought to mind the wisdom of this subject. She asks a question, are sin, disease, and death real? You know, she could have said, sin, disease, and death are not real as a statement. But the problem with hearing a statement is we say, okay, I heard it, and you dismiss it. Whereas if it's asking a question, then people need to ask themselves, what am I accepting as real? And really get into it, like you were just talking about.
Thank you.
Well, and it is so generally accepted as a fact among mankind that they are real. I mean, well, there's a saying, you know, the only two things in life that are certain are taxes and death.
Yeah.
But that's the general human thought. And when it's so widely accepted, it acts as if it's a law.
A while ago, I found it very helpful, we do many things in the morning, but to start your morning with this thought that all things were made by Him, the Divine Word, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's in Science and Health this week. It's from the Bible, of course. So you start your day with that, and that's your touchstone, that's your biblical guide to life. If it's not good, He didn't make it. And you can keep referring to that during your day to keep your focus right. Because when you start accepting the fact that things that aren't good are real, your focus gets screwed up, so to speak. So keep your focus, and keep your focus on God.
I think also behaviors they just seem so real, especially if somebody is doing something and it's making you feel bad. Let me talk about myself. When someone was behaving a certain way, you know, it was hard to see through it, that this is not real either. Again, you know, the teachings here that emphasize what man really is, man is an expression of God. Of course, science and health tells it all, what we are. And really studying that and, first of all, accepting what Mrs. Eddy is saying is true, and then studying it and praying about it, does help to, you know, did help to get my thought in a way that I will not accept
I'll tell you,
behavior as real.
I'll take a while.
Please remember, we can hear you speaking. You've unmuted yourself. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Florence. And you know, often it's important that you address the person or the situation if they are doing things. It's certainly right to pray and get it right in your own thought, but sometimes you need to address something and not shrink back from doing that, from that confrontation, if need be. Maybe they don't even know they're doing it.
Well, that's just it, is that out of love for that person, you should address it. And don't be afraid to address it. And you're likely to get a kickback from it. But if you've done it out of love, you've done your duty to God, to your leader, and to mankind.
Yeah. I'm glad you're praying. Yeah, the praying involved the courage to do something as God directs, when He directed, and what to say. So.
Yeah. Well, it's a very good point, Lauren.
Who else is going to speak?
I just wanted to say that thank you. That's very helpful, because that's the old, you know, Boston way, that God is love type of thought, and you know, you would let something go, and just, you know, you might see the person right, but I think you have to stand for principle with that. So
yeah,
thank you.
I find when I do that, I don't hold the resentment. If you don't do it, even if you're praying and thinking, you know, the truth, but you're not speaking up, sometimes you can just hold that resentment in. When you say it and speak it and get it done with, then you can go on and move on, and then you know that the person got it. It was done out of love. If there's any truth to it, they can change. And if not, for any reason, then, okay, at least you spoke your mind. Move on.
Thank you, and that they'll be accepting.
That's very important. That's part of the work, to know they will be accepting of the truth.
Thank you.
Welcome. Elsie, you were going to tell us about your plumber.
Yes. About 2 weeks ago, I had to bring a plumber in to do some work for me. And he came in, and he looked the problem over, and told me what he was going to do, and then he went to the back of his truck and opened it up, didn't touch anything. His back was turned toward me, and I saw him bow his head, and his hands were in front of him, and the thought just came, oh, he must be praying. And I thought, that's silly, and I went upstairs. And well, after he had taken care of everything, and he came up to, and I was in the process of paying him, he started to talk with me, and he said, you know, I'm very upfront. I used to be a drug addict. And he said, during that period of time, I was pretty bad. He had to have some surgery done, so he was in the hospital, and the doctor administered the anesthesia, and he said everything went blank. And he said the next thing he knew, he opened his eyes, and he looked all around, and he said the first thing came to mind was, I am in hell. And he said all around him were people screaming and yelling for help, and they were out there trying to ask him to help them. And he said there was somebody standing beside him, but he didn't know who it was. The only thing he was sure of, it was a man. And he said to the man, I got to get out of here. This is hell. And the man said, take a good look, because if you don't straighten out, this is where you're going to end up. And he said, then everything went blank. And he said, I'm going to tell you, right then and there, I was a changed man. He said, when he came out of that anesthesia and walked out of that hospital, he said, I didn't need any help from any source. I saw what was going to happen, and I went right to church. And he said he doesn't do anything without praising and thanking God before he does it. And he said as a result, his business, it was going very well. It picked up, and it was going so well that he's opening another shop over in Florida. So I was seeing him pray, and I thought afterward it just seemed you just don't see that from anybody that comes to your home to do anything. They usually get in and get out. But this gentleman was very sincere, and he said he said, I saw hell, and I know I did. And he said, I know whoever was with me was warning me, and he said, I took up the warning. And he said, I thank God every time somebody calls, every time I go to somebody's house and ask for the hands of God to help me. Now, I never heard of such a thing before, and I was so shocked. But it was such an uprising thought that came to me that I, for some reason, I guess that was why I needed to have that man come to my house. I don't know. But I was so grateful to God, and I thanked him. And I said something to him that others have heard. Have a blessed day.
Well, he was certainly led to your house, wasn't he?
I really believe that. I really believe it. But, you know, you just don't see somebody before they do anything. Just stop and pray. But he was very sincere. He did a good job. He was, I was very pleased with it, and he was a very, very nice young man. So I guess he didn't realize it himself, but he was touched by an angel.
Well,
what a beautiful story. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we know Mrs. Eddy's definition of hell or heaven. We make it ourselves, and as a drug addict, I'm sure he was in hell. And it wasn't going to get any better. Reminds me a little bit of that. I love that Charles Dickens story, Christmas Carol, with Scrooge, mm-hmm. and how, you know, the angels showed him past, present, future.
Yes.
Which leads us into something else that Bruce is going to talk to us about.
Okay. I had heard, as you all know, George Washington, father of our country, was a man of prayer. I had heard somewhere that he had had a vision. Something happened to him, but I didn't know exactly what it was, so I looked it up on the internet. And evidently when his army was in Valley Forge, that was a long, cold winter for them, he was in his room, and he specifically requested that he be left alone. So he sat down to work, and then the next thing you know, he felt a presence with him. He looked up and he saw a being, a visitor. Well, you guys can look it up. But anyway, the vision was that he couldn't talk, speak, or do anything except focus on this visitor that had come and hear what it had to tell him. And it told him of three perils or challenges that were going to face our country. And it's fairly evident the first two, the first one was the Revolutionary War, the one he was in. And the second one referred to the Civil War, which would have happened a few, 60 years later, 100 years later, something like that. But there was a third vision, and this is all stated in metaphorical terms. There's this dark cloud from Asia, Africa, and Europe that comes over and envelops America. Also goes on to say that it nearly destroys everything that was in America, except for the fact that there was this bright light that shone, brighter than everything, and it carried the American flag, as well as the word Union. And the people that were left gathered together and resumed their efforts, and victory was won for right again, this third vision. And there have been many attempts at interpreting this, but
you want to tell them who wrote it and where this thing is from?
This is George Washington reciting his experience to a few of his men. In the year 1859, a soldier that was with him retold it again, and then it was published.
Where was it published?
Yeah, where was it published?
Something to refer to so they can find it.
You want to go look it up?
Yeah. Well, and it's important to know where it was published. It was in the Veterans magazine.
Yeah, this was published in a magazine in the late 1800s.
Yes.
It was written by a soldier who was with Washington and who heard the story directly from Washington with some of the other soldiers who were there.
It was the National Tribune. I have it online now. Just Google Washington, George Washington's vision. And the gentleman was Anthony Sherman.
And each time this voice spoke, he would say, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." Now, we talked somewhat about this last week, to what Mrs. Eddy says in the first edition, and I know many of you feel now we are what they call in the latter times, and it is up to us to take on and to do this work. It can help. Well, it's all power, so there's unlimited in the good that it can do. Any comments on any of this?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment about the plumber. To me, it is things like this that we hear that we need to focus on. And there's a couple in my neighborhood who have put up the Ten Commandments in their yard. And I think I mentioned here in Georgia there are several police jurisdictions who have put trust in God or something like that on their bumpers. And, we hear so much in the news about all the tragedies that seem to be befalling us, and this country has to come back, et cetera, that I choose to focus on those things to say God is working. He is here. And all that other stuff is just a bunch of noise that would try to prevent me from seeing the truth. There are faithful people in this country and in the world. And that's what I choose to think about and am so grateful for.
Anybody else?
Yes. I have a few things to say. When I listen to this, I get this idea that it's like taking the wrong computer program that's badly programmed and deleting it and just looking at the right program and working with it. I mean, if we work with a computer, we do that. But humanly, we ruminate. And so I think that's what this man did. He was working with God's program, and that's why he was able to be a successful plumber.
And it was instantaneous. He didn't have to go to any rehab or anything else.
Great.
Yeah, that says a lot, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And what is a good example for us? For us. If there's any bad program in our life, we can be rid of it right away.
Right. And this goes back to what Bruce read as well. Reprogramming ourselves, our country, our world. And it is true what Janet said. I believe that. You know, the media always makes it sound like it's we all should give up. But that's the intent of any era, is to get you to give up and to make you believe it is real. At the same time, we can't be stupid and just go along la-di-da-da.
I think it points to the importance of our watching as well. I think we've all heard that in the times of Mrs. Eddy, where they were watched, that wars were stopped. We don't know what they were because they never happened, but they were indeed stopped. So the importance for us to carry on this work. And also, I just wanted to read something from Science and Health on 348, where Mrs. Eddy says, as a result of teaching Christian Science, ethics and temperance have received an impulse. Health has been restored and longevity increased. If such are the present fruits, what will be the harvest when this science is more generally understood?
Great, that's wonderful. And that is what we are working to do, so that it is more generally understood. And I know Tom was mentioning, you know, and I feel it too, and Florence said it as well. I mean, forum this week was very active. Tom says, for the first time in a long time, we have volunteers for the Bible study that are coming up even ahead of time and doing good questions. There's an energy. You are learning. You're taking in this truth, and it's changing you, and you're getting where you're doing the work. Not just one or two dragging people along behind. But there's an energy now that's going on, and it's wonderful. You heard the letter I read. That was actually from Joe in Florida, but she said how she's been listening to the roundtables every morning, and she feels such a change. She can tell such a change in you. You're growing and changing.
I guess this is the spirituality. Sorry.
Please, go ahead.
No, I was going to say this is the spirituality that we heard in the watch last night that is most important, even beyond the healings and the periodicals and the, you know, services and everything.
Thank you.
That spirit of Christ.
That's exactly it. This is what's going on, a raising of consciousness, the spirituality, and that spirituality will go and meet the dark places on this earth. To heal and save.
You know, listening to the Washington's vision reminded me that things can change at the blink of an eye. I'll never forget the weekend after 9/11. We were driving down a Chicago expressway, and you know those big electronic signs overhead that tell you about traffic information? And there I could not believe I was seeing this in the city of Chicago. Big overhead electronic sign saying, God bless America.
Wow. That's what it does. I remember, you know, every church was singing, and we sang it recently at our church, Oh God, Our Help in Ages Past. I love that hymn.
Everyone. I think it doesn't take much to bring people to their knees, I'll say that.
It doesn't.
Well, I mean, recently, you know, and even in the past, whenever there's been shootings in the schools, the children will say, and I was praying, and I was praying, you know, and now the teachers are praying. So, I mean, God is everywhere, and this His truth will rule the world.
It proves to me that this is our nature, to be with God, to go to God. And, you know, not only in times of trouble, which is what Christian Science teaches us, but like this plumber did. And everything he did, he was honoring God. And it's our natural instinct to do that. And you don't, not just for just Christian Scientists, of course, but because we're all God's children. And that's something I've been holding to recently in the watches and things that I'm working on, is that the naturalness, that's how we are made. And to keep that in my mind in everything that I do, too. It's very helpful.
Thank you. If you see that in other people, you will bring that out. If you think that you know something and somehow you've got to convince them of this truth, you will get resistance. Now, in the lesson, it says to put down the claim of sin, you must detect it, remove the mask, point out the illusion, and thus get the victory over sin, and so prove its unreality. That's been so helpful to me all week. Seeing things, see what the error is, because sometimes it's not what it appears, and then smash it. Thank you.
And I think this, the vision of George Washington, the two couple main points that are in there is, like we talked about yesterday, the wrong does not rule the right. And where the word union was used indicates that we don't live for ourselves, we live for a higher cause together. And
yes,
with that, it comes the victory over anything.
So Mrs. Eddy said, your premonitions will save you. What does that mean?
Your spiritual...
Go right ahead.
I was just going to say, you're listening to spiritual sense.
Yes.
The angels of his presence.
Yes. Yes.
Your premonitions are God speaking to you. They are God's angels.
And sometimes they are warning. You know, you think of Joseph in the birth of Jesus, the human father of Jesus, Joseph. Wasn't he warned by angels? More than just once. And because he listened, he was spared. So we must listen. If this is a premonition, a vision, it's also in the Dixon letter, same premonition or vision, then we can be forewarned, forearmed, and work to dispel.
And we know what that bright light is. It's the bright light of Christian Science, of the truth. Because the darkness is not a person, it's not a nation. The darkness is wrong thought overtaking people, mesmerizing people.
And thank you, Gary, for saying that.
Yeah. The one
because
thing
I think
is, the only thing that saves is the truth. And that's why each one of us has to be a bright light.
Go ahead, Florence.
No, I think it's important to point it out that it's all thought. I mean, to say, because when you say that it's coming from somewhere, you know, it may be misconstrued as, the darkness is only in certain places. The darkness is thought. Thought here that's dark is dark as just as much as anywhere. So the bright light, thank God, is here in the United States. Shine for the whole world.
Thank you. You know, I loved what Jacob wrote on our forum this week. It was someone, you know, hanging out their wet clothes. The analogy, the sun dried the wet clothes. like God, well, did the sun know that there were wet clothes someplace that it was drying? No, it just happens. And so it is. The likeness of God, the comparison sometimes to sun, the light. And I think of it sometimes as someone walking toward the light. Maybe you've got all this darkness and physical problems and anguish and all kinds of things. You can be, you know, doubled over with fear and pain and anxiety. But as you approach that light, does the light know about all your trouble? No, it just shines and shines and shines, and pretty soon all that darkness, all that fear, all that negativity and everything goes. It reaches every pore of your being. And so it is with God as we approach Him more and more. And, you know, it says that in the lesson as well. Sure, I can find it, but anyway, it brings that out. As your understanding grows, your belief. Yeah. Neither evil, disease, nor death can be spiritual, and the material belief in them disappears in the ratio of one's spiritual growth. Were those material beliefs ever real or true?
No.
No. But as your understanding grows, they'll disappear. And this is the spirituality that Florence mentioned, and that was, yes, in our watch last night. This is the importance of everything we do. Everything you do, whatever you are doing, coming to this round table, writing a lesson, proofing, it is all for your spirituality. You're meeting animal magnetism and growing closer to God, just as that plumber did. That's what it's all about. And if it's not about that, it's about nothing.
Just as the woman hung her wet clothes out to dry, we have to hang our consciousness out in the open,
yes,
for God to reach. If she had kept her clothes inside in a basket, we would never have dried.
They would have gotten moldy. And that's why the healthiness of getting things out in the open, and it is only pride and fear, because pride and fear are related, that likes to keep it hidden so no one knows. Once you get it out, you feel so relieved because you realize it was never yours in the first place.
And I think that's what humility is all about. So letting my consciousness out in the open, where God can reach it, where the sunlight of truth can reach it, not putting up the walls to keep it out.
Okay, who would like to read in our lesson citation number one? Yes, from Science and Health.
I can read it.
I would.
Okay, please do, whoever that was. Dale.
The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. Now, as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. They are the sign of Emmanuel, or God with us.
Thank you. Comments?
Well, like I was saying before, God is with everyone, not a select number, but with everyone. And when I see that, you know, wonderful things happen for them, for myself, and then it just goes out and blesses the whole world. It is difficult. It's not easy, but it's natural, so it can be done.
Yes. And, you know, many of the places that, well, that are having the most difficulties are the ones that are most receptive to the truth and to God. We've certainly seen that, where there's not a huge amount of materia medica and academia and other things, where they, you know, they either have God in their life or they end up in some perilous situation. You know, I thought it was so beautiful, the story of, I don't remember his name right now, but it's the man who translates our lessons into Urdu from Pakistan. And Joseph sent us that interview with him. And, you know, how close he was to God, because he has to be. Anyone else?
Well, he feels the danger because it appears so clearly present where he lives.
Yes. Yeah.
In our country, we have a lot of protections against that kind of danger. So the danger is not quite as obvious to us. But since the danger is mental, we need to be a little more alert to feel the danger.
Why does Mrs. Eddy say, in order to do a watch, we need to feel the danger?
Because if you see something and think it's nice, you're not going to fight. But if you see the danger, you're going to rise up in rebellion.
That's right.
But also, this is the way error works. It tricks you into thinking things are all right. Otherwise, if it was right out in the open and blatant and obvious, no one would go along with it, and they would be doing their watch easily. So the only way you can get you to stop your watch is to get you to feel, oh, things are all right.
That's it. You can just be sitting there like a dreamy hashish eater, she says. So it's a proper balance, and I hope you're seeing this. It's a proper balance. You can't just go around saying God is love, as we talked about. Everything's great and hunky-dory and all of that. That's just obnoxious. At the same time, you can't be going around all doom and gloom and everything's awful and the world's about to blow up. No. It is a middle ground here where you're seeing the error. Mrs. Eddy says, I'll quote it again, but you acknowledge the claims, but you denounce the power. Otherwise, you're asleep. That's where the premonitions come in. If you get a premonition and you ignore it or you're insensitive to it, well, it's not a good thing. You've got to listen. You've got to be listening to God. He's telling us all kinds of things all the time, and sometimes it is a warning. And a warning means danger, doesn't it?
Yes. The other day, if I had gone, you know, when I thought I should go, you know, I don't know what would have happened. But when I gave the testimony about the accident that had happened, you don't know, but God knows.
Absolutely. That was a good example. And, you know, Gary has this friend, maybe I've told that story, but he was supposed to be on the plane, 9/11, that was about, you know, that was going from Boston
to Los Angeles.
Yeah, and the
day before the flight, he canceled his ticket. He got a very strong premonition that he shouldn't go to Los Angeles.
Wow.
So he canceled. He wasn't sure why, but he got it strongly, and he did it.
And
I'm sure there were other people who were warned against that, whose lives were saved by obeying the premonition that they got.
Well, we had someone here in church who was late getting her train. If she'd been on the first train, she would have been there when it happened. So these are the ways we listen and be wise, and we can handle defeat and destroy.
And if we recognize this as the operation of divine principle and take that lesson, apply it to everything in our life. Saying here that sin, disease will lose their reality and belief.
And when you do this for yourself, you are doing it for all mankind. You are purifying that atmosphere. Tom, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just saying sometimes it seems very difficult because, you know, let's not all get lovey-dovey, then, oh my gosh, let's not get doom and gloom, you know? I'm sorry for that. So what I was going to say was that when it was mentioned about Pakistan, and, you know, and perhaps other places in the world that are, maybe more dangerous or whatever, is that, and we have a lot of protections in this country, but I think that in a certain sense, it doesn't make any difference.
No, it doesn't.
So, it should. You're right, it shouldn't.
No, it doesn't.
And what will happen if we don't understand that is then that whatever protections that we do have will start disappearing.
That's absolutely true.
Exactly.
And that is in obeying or bowing down to false gods. Seen it in these Bible stories. And we're already seeing it, where people, you know, all these random things that are going on. Where's the protection? It's only in God. And there, it is all you need. So,
in the,
go ahead.
I was going to say in James Gilman's book about writing, drawing the pictures for Christ and Christmas with Mary Baker Eddy, he said he was having a tough time explaining in depth what Christian Science was, and what Mrs. Eddy responded to him was, that problem was that everybody tried to start with the difficult things, and it's the ABCs where you have to start. And this is what I really like about what you folks are doing in Plainfield, is that I always thought the simple things were too simple, so I kept looking for a bigger solution. And it comes right back down to just properly watching my thought, which you guys have been very good at helping me with, so I appreciate that.
Good.
Very good.
Well, in the Bible, there are all these instances of where people who are at the top fall apart, like Job and Solomon.
Well, that's true, and their foundation wasn't a good foundation, and that's why that would happen. It's precept upon precept, line upon line. And I go back to the math illustration, because sometimes it will, you know, bother people, you know, why can't I do this, you know, and why can't I walk on water? Well, I've got to solve everything. I've got to figure the whole picture out tonight. Well, that just doesn't happen. And that's foolishness to think so. Would you sit in your math class and say, demand to the teacher, I want to know calculus, when you can't even add or do subtraction and multiplication? Of course not. But does that make calculus wrong? No. And as you take each step, it's unfoldment. And you can't force that unfoldment. If you do, you rip a flower apart. It's got to come precept upon precept, and it will. And you have to trust God with it. This isn't about you and what you want. It's about God's unfoldment for you.
The other thing is, people say, oh, I want this result in the format that I want. It doesn't happen that way. Remember who we are. We are the expression of Spirit. Spirit is the one who is, and he bodies us forth to express him. So who are we to demand of Spirit what it should be? We're not.
Thank you.
I love the statement that was just read. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, which before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear. But anyways, when our focus, I just love that in this church, that we are, our focus is on God and only wanting to do his will and blessing mankind. And I have seen this operation of divine principle when I've had a physical problem or some other kind of problem, but I get my focus right off of that and right on to God. And then I realize at a later point that thing has just disappeared. Through this work and through the help of the practitioner in this church, it's focusing on God always, and things, the discord disappears.
Because it's a mesmeric belief, and it wants you to focus on it. So you take your focus off it, and it will. It always works, because it's the truth. It's a principle operating, as this quote says. And, of course, this quote refers to Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted, is God with us. I love that. That always just brings tears to my eyes. God with us. And this is what dispels the belief of sin, disease, and death. It is not true, and we have the ability to prove it through God. And those last pages in Science and Health, there's 390 to 393, tell you exactly what to do. And this is the middle ground we're talking about. It's not running from the problem. It's not, oh, it's so awful. It's not ignoring it. It is confronting it with the truth and destroying it. That's the middle ground. And Era would like to tell you, well, it's not easy, but it's a lot easier to do it that way than either to be flying around with everything fine or Mr., you know, Eeyore, everything's terrible. You confront your problems. You don't run from them. Just like if you had a math problem, you would sit down and work it out and find the solution. You wouldn't just say, oh, well, the math rules are just great and I know everything's happy and people can solve the problems, but I'm not doing anything. Or, oh, my gosh, I've got a problem. This is terrible. I want to shoot myself. No, we sit and work it out.
And I hate math because it never works.
It's too difficult.
Right. No, the middle ground, which is the high road. Now, in miscellaneous writing, and also, Linda, I want you to end the class with that poem from Precepts so you can prepare that well.
Okay.
Miscellaneous writings, we have on page 37, one short question and one answer that applies to this week's lesson. Is anyone ready to read it? Gary, you can then.
Starting on line 16.
Yes.
Can your science cure intemperance? Christian Science lays the axe at the root of the tree. Its antidote for all ills is God, the perfect mind, which corrects mortal thought, whence cometh all evil. God can and does destroy the thought that leads to moral or physical death. Intemperance, impurity, sin of every sort is destroyed by truth. The appetite for alcohol yields to science as directly and surely as do sickness and sin.
Thank you. And this, in many ways, sums up the lesson, because we are getting at the axe at the root of the problem, which is the mortal belief. And God does destroy the mortal beliefs. That's why you got to let them out and let them go. They're only beliefs, just like 2 + 2 = 5. It is not. Once you know it is 4, you can never be deceived again. Okay, Linda, are you there?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, thank you. We'll end
right.
with this. It's beautiful.
This is by Mary Baker Eddy. With love's battle flags unfurled, with hope's cause before the world, we are going on. Though the storm clouds thunder o'er us, though the path seems dark before us, though the foeman strive to kill us, we are going on. For our master led the way, fought the fight, and won the day. Follow, follow all who may, going on, going on. Stand ye only back who dare not the cross of Christ to bear. We are going on. Triumph star above us gleaming, victory on our foreheads beaming. For fresh duties hourly reaching, we are going on. To fulfill each hope and aim, conquer sickness, sin, and blame.
and each erring heart reclaim. Going on, going on. From the darkness of the night into morning's golden light, sisters labor on. With the aid of God's own science, with no heed of hate's defiance, truth and right, my sole reliance, I shall labor on.
Thank you. Go on to a wonderful service. And thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.